Would you take your Bible, please, tonight, and let's turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, I have three more points to finish up here. Fill in the blank spots on the back of your notes that we gave out about 3 weeks ago now on the greatness of God. And I want to share the first two verses of Psalm 90 because they basically teach us how great God is. Not just in the quality that He is, His excellency, but the immense vastness of who God is. God is not limited by time or space. He is everywhere in the universe at the same time. Now that blows our little feeble minds. We barely keep up with the space that we're in right now. We can barely keep up with our little existence here in Milton, Florida. Sometimes I think I meet myself several times a day running here and there trying to keep up with my little space. But God manages the universe and is everywhere at the same time. Look at these two verses here in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in how many generations? All generations. God's been there in every generation and will continue to be with every generation because He is eternal. He is the I Am. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou, God, art is supplied by the King James translator, but it's simply the Hebrew, it gives the indication, Thou, God. In other words, You span it all. Thou, God. What an important thing for us to be acquainted with when we start to think of ourselves as great. You know, we assign that name to a lot of different people and groups and individuals. We talk about the greatest generation, the World War II generation. We've assigned that the greatest generation. I don't know whether that's the greatest generation because we only have just the time that we know, right? We didn't live in previous generations. Maybe there's a greater generation. But we've assigned that title to them. We say certain individuals are great. George Washington or Abraham Lincoln is often assigned those titles. We think of great preachers of the past, or we think of great apostles, and we tend to put that name in front of them of those that we hold in high esteem. But there's really only one who is great, and that is God. No one else can say that they span all generations. No one else can say that they were in existence before the world was made, before the mountains were formed. As this verse tells us, formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. There's not one human being in existence that can say, yeah, I'm that. We are not great. God is great. But how is God great? The last three points here I want to make from this passage of Scripture that I think are so important. Psalm 90 is one of the most wonderful passages of Scripture that gives us an insight from a biblical perspective into who God is. If you ever want to do a study on the greatness of God and who God is, study Psalm 90 because it will open your eyes to the vastness and greatness of God. God is the great I Am. That's the first blank that you'll find there by number one. Quoting from this passage of Scripture, He is the I Am, Thou, God. The last two words there of verse 2. Say it all. He spans eternity from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou, God. In God's sight, 1,000 years are as what? One day. Now you think about what's happened over the last 1,000 years. Go back 1,000 years. and think about how much time that is. You think about 100 years. I have a couple of books in my library, and I just happened to be leafing through. One of them is Sunday School Notes, and it had a little note in there, given in 1918. Has a little note by the teacher that gave the lesson in 1918. None of us were in existence in 1918. No one here was alive in 1918. And you think about what's happened in 100 years. You know, we're finishing up World War I, World War II, Korean conflict, Vietnam, Gulf Wars, all the different wars that have been fought, thousands of lives lost, and then all the facts of history that have happened just in 100 years. But for God, 1,000 years is as one day. Let that soak in for just a moment. Just thinking about that statement is a staggering to our little feeble minds. We cannot comprehend. And the imagination fails to cross the great chasm of eternity. The eternity of God removes Him infinitely beyond and above all other beings. He exists in the eternal present and yet completely encompasses the past and the future all at one time. Whenever He brought John up into the, caught him up into heaven and showed him the future, it was as if it was happening right at that moment. And John's trying to record it all, and he's trying to put it into words that he can try to describe, and some of the things seem rather strange, but he was describing a modern era that he knew nothing of. But it was happening in real time, and God was letting him see it. Now for us, it's yet future. But for God, it's already happened. Now think about that. It's already happened as far as God, because He's eternal. Number two, God is free. I'm going to say it again. God is free. That is, He is totally independent. God relies on no one. He consults with how many people? No one. He didn't consult with anybody about what man was going to look like. He didn't consult with anyone about what Eve was going to look like and what that all of the people groups of the world would find their genetic makeup in that first couple. All the colors of the skin. All of the different people groups of the world would come from that one group. It was all in His infinite mind. And He spoke the worlds into existence. He said, let there be light. And there was the sun and all the stars of the heavens throughout the universe spoken in one word. Are you starting to feel a little small? I certainly am. Oh, well, we think we're pretty big. We're pretty important. You know, we're known in the community. But you're nothing compared to God. You're nothing. And yet He deigned to love us before the foundation of the world. He thought about us and He deigned to love us. He's free to do that because He's God. He's independent. He thinks, directs, creates, acts without any other power or authority interfering or meddling. He is unbounded, unhampered, unrestricted in His existence. That's our God. The one who made you and made me. The one who allows us. How many breaths have you taken since you walked in that door? You know who gave you those breaths? God did. And He knows how many you have left too, by the way. You don't think about it. All night long you're sleeping and you're breathing. Body's just working away. God's doing that. God's allowing that. And God controls your future. Next time you start complaining and fussing with God, you just remember that. He controls my next breath. He controls everything because He's God. He's free. He's independent. That brings us to the third one. We think we're intelligent. Well, we put a man on the moon and we're about to go back again. We're going to put people up in outer space in a plane, and we're going to fly it back down and land it, and we're going to start space travel. As one person last week said, who was quoted by National Geographic, and then they've got him all over the news media, he said, we must populate Mars because we're using up all the fuel and everything on it. We've got to populate Mars. So we got to get people ready to go. Okay. Now there's a person that's mind is about this long. They're not thinking God. They're not thinking what the Bible says. They're just thinking about what are we going to do in the future? The whole world's going to end in 12 years. Are you scared? Do you realize there are people all over America that are scared half to death because they honestly think everything's going to end in 12 years? What are we going to do? We got to stop it. We got to stop it. Like we little feeble people are going to stop it. We haven't stopped anything. We haven't stopped a hurricane yet that came ashore. We can fly planes in it, but we can't stop it. We haven't stopped one volcano. We haven't stopped one earthquake. Nor will we ever. And somehow we think we're going to stop climate change. We're going to stop all these bad things that bad people are doing all over the world. And by the way, they do talk like that. You see them on TV all the time. I just like, got to go take a shower. Listen to them. They get up there with a microphone and they start talking like this, you know. Our world's going to end in 12 years and we've got to stop it. No more cows. No more airplanes. You know, wake up. What are you doing? Do you have any brain cells? I mean, it just makes no sense. We're going to save the planet by getting rid of cows and airplanes. By the way, did they have airplanes way back 150 years ago? Okay. No. And we had ice ages, and we also had, you know, climates that were much warmer. And we're still here. Isn't that amazing? We live in a world of dopey people. And they've got all kinds of degrees behind their names. But they're just as dopey as they can be because they're believing the lie. What did the Bible say? God's going to send strong delusion in the last days. Strong delusion whereby they believe the lie. You want to know what the lie is? Evolution, climate change, all that stuff. And they're going to find a man one day that's going to say, I'll bring it all. I'll get everything in order here. You just trust me, and his name will be Antichrist. And there'll be a false prophet alongside. Yes, he's the one you need to worship. He's got the power, and they're going to do mighty wonders in the earth. And people are going to say, he's going to do it. He's going to stop. We're going to have utopia. But he's nothing but a liar, and people are going to believe it. God is intelligent. Bible revelation and revelations in nature set him forth as the author of a universal order of matter, life, and mind. Such an order as could come only from the mind of infinite intelligence. We don't have infinite intelligence. What we've got is so small that it's embarrassing. Okay? Wait. We almost are going to cure the common cold. We've got a cure for cancer. It's just right around the corner. Isn't it amazing? I've been hearing about, since I was in middle school, cures for cancer. How many of you have been listening to that? We got a cure for cancer. I've been listening to it since I was in middle school. And we still don't have a cure for cancer. We still don't have a cure for the common cold. We get it every year. Flus mutate. Every year I go down to RX Express, and I see my son. Said, I'm ready to get my flu shot. And I walk back there. You know what they tell me? We don't know whether the strains of the flu shot that we're going to give you is going to really be able to counteract what's going on, but it's better than nothing. You know? It's better than nothing. So I go down there and get my shot. I didn't get the flu this year. But I don't know whether that's because it was just the good Lord watching out for me, or whether it was that flu shot that they promised me, didn't know whether it was going to work or not. You see, folks, our intelligence is so small, it's not even worth talking about when compared to the greatness of our God. And yet we complain. We accuse God of all kinds of things. Talked to an individual just a few weeks ago, complaining about God and about all the problems that their family was going through, and said, God is just not working for us. That was the statement that we made. God is just not working for us. I said, whoa. Where did you get the idea that God works for you? Isn't it supposed to be the other way around? Do I hear an amen? Aren't we supposed to work for Him? God's not working for me. In other words, I've got my little capsulated God. I've got Him about this big, and He works for me. If He doesn't work for me, I'm going to complain about it. That's my right as an American. Listen, we are just a tiny speck in the vision of an almighty God. But He deigned to love us anyway. That's the wonder of it all. He deigned to love us. And He sent His Son to die on Calvary's tree for my sin and for your sin. And so, what right do I have to complain? I don't have a right to complain. What I need to do is submit myself, humble myself, the Bible says, under the mighty hand of God. That's the greatest position you can ever hold in this earth, humbling myself under the mighty hand of God and realizing who I am. I'm just a speck of atoms here upon this earth, but I've got an eternal soul. And if I trust in Jesus Christ, I can live with Him for all eternity. That's the glory of the gospel. But as long as you continue to think of yourself as great and wonderful and everything's going my way and I'm going to do my own thing, then you will be doomed to a devil's hell. And you didn't have to go there if you'd have just humbled yourself before God. Our God is great. He is wonderful. He's powerful. And He loves us. And I've got to keep that perspective all the time. I don't span generations. I don't span eternity, but He does. So I need to submit myself under His mighty hand. And I need to pray that my children submit themselves under His mighty hand. And I need to pray that my grandchildren will submit themselves under His mighty hand. And stop worrying about all the things of this world that are totally unimportant. They're going to get burned up one day. Everything you hold precious is going to be destroyed and burned up one day. You can't take it with you. You can't pile it in the coffin with you when you go into eternity. It's just going to rot down there in the box. Can't take it with you. But what you can take is the blessed Son of God. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd work in our hearts. May we never minimize Your greatness. May we never try to put it in human terms, because we can't. You are well beyond any kind of thought or imagination. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. And so we must submit ourselves to Thee and humble ourselves before Thee and revel in Your greatness and in Your power and in Your might, and submit ourselves before Thee, the living God, who loved us and sent His Son to die for us. Father, we thank You for that. Totally undeserving, but we thank You for what You've done for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray that You might hear and answer our prayer request, Father, for Your honor and for Your glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.